I call, you hear me. I've lost it all, and it's more than I can bear. I feel so empty. You're strong, I'm weary, I'm holding on, but I feel like giving in, and still you're with me. And even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow, I hold on tight to the hand of love will comfort me. And when all hope is gone and I've been wounded in the battle, is all the strength that I will ever need. You carry me. I know but you alone can mend this heart of mine. You're always with me. And even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow, I hold on tight to the hand of him whose love will comfort me. And when all you said you see me through the storm. And even though I'm walking through the valley of the shadow, I will hold on tight to the hand of him whose love will comfort me. And when all hope is gone and I've been wounded in the battle, he is all the strength that I
take out your notes with me. We're going to take a look at seasons of failure as we continue in the series Life's Growing Seasons. I know how much we hate to take tests because we're afraid of failing a test, so let's start off with a test, okay? I'm going to test us on to see how well we follow instructions. We are told by dentists and dental assistants that in order to take care of our teeth, we need to brush our teeth after every meal and floss at least once a day. How many of you failed to do that this last week? Raise your hand. I see your hands. Okay, dentists, look around. That's job security for you, huh? Okay, now, husbands, we are told also that it's good to be nice to your wife and to express our love for them by at least buying a gift once a week, you know, some flowers or something, you know. Hey, Chinatown, $3 for a dozen of flowers, and you can't go wrong with that. But flowers or candy or something, okay, husbands, how many of you failed that test this week? Failed that, yeah, okay. Be honest, yeah. I bought Cinnabons for my wife yesterday, so I'm safe. Okay, here's one that I think we can all take, and we shouldn't be afraid of this one. I'm no longer sitting on the bench as a judge, so I can't help you with this, and I'm going to have them turn the cameras off so they won't capture your face. But how many of you in this last week failed to drive within the posted speed limit sign? Failed, yeah, okay. You know what the cops call that? That's their retirement account for next year. We all fail at something, don't we? We all fail at something in life. All of us do. Even pastors will fail at something. You know, I had a great devotional the other day. I met with some guys and we were reading through Jeremiah and how Jeremiah is pleading with the nation of Israel, repent of your ways, come back to the ways of the Lord. And there was one chapter in there and one verse where the Lord said to Jeremiah, you know, quit praying for the people. Because of the stubbornness of their heart, I won't even answer their prayers. And I wrote to myself, wow, what a word, Lord. That means I got to live my life out the way you taught me to. I just can't say it. I got to live it out. Otherwise, you won't even respond to my prayers. Great devotional for me. Got in my car, started driving and going towards the office that morning. Came to an intersection where I am now trying to make a left turn. This guy on the opposite side is trying to make a right turn. Now, I have a lane for my left turn. He has a lane for his right turn. But instead, I think he wanted to come into my lane as he's making a wide right. So as we both enter the intersection, I'm making my turn. He pulls straight in front of me, gives me the stink eye, blasts his horn at me, starts mouthing off these words. I look at him and I'm thinking, brother, you get your own lane. You know, you're turning right, stay in your own lane. And he looked at me and he kept mouthing off. And so I mouth off back to him. And I just kept going. And I figured, I got to turn. So I turned, I stayed in my lane. He pulls behind me. He zips right on my tail. Follows me down the street. He zips over to the right lane, tries to pass me. But a car in front of him had to make a right turn, so he slowed down. I passed right by. I went, ah, good for you. And then he pulls next to me again. He tails me again. I pull over to the right lane, hoping that at this next intersection, he's going to catch up with me. And sure enough, he did. We came to a stop. He pulled up right next to me. I looked over. Kind of an older guy, shorter than me, kind of balding in the back a little. And I'm thinking, come on, brother, turn around. Turn around. Look at me. He wouldn't look at me. He kept his face straight ahead. And I kept saying, come on, turn around. Step outside now. Anytime. Right here. Got me so upset. Well, the light turned green. He turned left. I went straight ahead. I went to the office. Called up my wife. I said, honey, you wouldn't imagine what happened to me this morning. Just came from my devotions, and I told her the whole story. She stops me. She says, don't you remember what kind of license plate holder you have? What does it say on your license plate? I said, oh, New Hope license plate holder. And then she said, and didn't you just come from devotions? What did you get out of your devotions? I said, that's right. I got to live my life the right way. Otherwise, God won't answer my prayers. You know, I hate it when she's so right, you know. She said, what happened to grace? I said, honey, he was shorter than me. I could have taken him. Grace went out the window. She said, no, what happened to grace? And she reminded me about God's word, and I felt so much like a failure. You know, I was the worst excuse for being a human being that morning. I really felt bad. You know, I swore to all the other services, and I will to you as well, I will never let that happen to me again. Okay, it will never happen again. But can someone please teach Pastor Wayne how to drive through intersections, you know, stay in your lane kind of thing. You know, has that happened to you? You know, has it happened to you where you just come from something good and then you just fail it? Anybody like that? Is it just me? Okay, good. I feel good now. But we all go through seasons like that, don't we? We go through a time where maybe we're trying to do it the right way, and yet we, through some twist of turns of circumstances, we end up on the wrong side. Or sometimes we go through a string of successive failures, either in relationships, or maybe at home with our family, or maybe with our finances, just bad decision, one after another. Or maybe at our workplace with co-workers, we just can't seem to get it to click right. and we feel like we're such a failure. We feel like we're in this period of time where even though we try our hardest, we keep digging a deeper hole for ourselves. Or we keep trying to put out fires around us because everything begins to heat up in our lives and it gets very uncomfortable. We'll all go through seasons like that. And these seasons of failure that we experience can be the most painful and the most loneliest times. It can be the times where we feel just the heat being turned up the most. But you know what else? These seasons can also be the richest times in our lives. A time where it's not an end to something. It really is a beginning of a new season for us. These seasons of failure. You know, there's a place in southern or southwest the continent United States where they call these regions, these habitats, chaparrales. And they're like these arid areas where you have small little brushes that'll grow, but it's pretty dry. And because of that condition, it invites these wildfires to just come in, like either with a spark or a lightning or something. And these wildfires will just scorch the entire land. It'll burn off all the brush in the area. And these chaparrales were such an interesting concept and this whole habitat that some researchers got together and began to study what was really going on here. And these researchers discovered that although these fires were very destructive in nature, they found that they were necessary to produce life. Because these chaparrales had these little plants that were considered, and they called them chaparral vegetation, that would produce seeds that could not open and bring forth new life unless there was fire, and the heat of the fire was used to burn off the outer shell and the husk of these chaparral seeds. And only when the fire did that was the seed able to open and germinate and begin to produce new shoots. The researchers also found that this burned vegetation released nutrients into the soil that also encouraged new plant growth. And as new plants begin to birth out, these little shoots began to grow after a fire, it attracted deer and other wildlife to the area. And so this one researcher wrote this. He said, you know, I've studied these fires, and I found that the fire does not eliminate a wildlife habitat. It changes a habitat. And I thought about this message, and I thought how interesting how our lives are just like these chaparrales, where sometimes it can seem to be so dry and arid. In fact, times where there's a fire that just burns everything off in our lives, and we think we're coming to an end of our lives, when in fact, God may be using these seasons that we go through to actually produce life, to produce a new life that He has stored up for us. These failures, like fires, weren't intended by God to eliminate life. They were intended to change life. That's what Paul talks about. 2 Corinthians, would you read that with me? Very top of your notes there. Ready? Go. I am glad because the pain caused you to change your ways. It was the kind of sorrow God wants His people to have. For God can use sorrow in our lives to help us turn away from sin and seek salvation. We will never regret that kind of sorrow, but sorrow without repentance is the kind that results in death. You see, we're going to go through sorrow, it says there. We're going to go through painful moments. Is He going to remove that pain from us? Not necessarily. There are times God will leave it in our lives if it's going to bring about change. Now, whether it brings about change or not is up to us. When you go through painful moments, when you go through sorrow, if you look at pain and there's change, that leads us to growth. If we go through pain without change, that leads to death, is what Paul is saying. And so we're going to talk about this morning as we come through and we work through these seasons of failure, seasons of pain. How can we work through it so that there's growth in our lives? Well, number one, would you fill that blank in there? As you grow through your failure, it begins with making a choice. Whenever we go through these seasons, if there's going to be any growth in our lives, we got to make a choice. We got to choose what we're going to do, how we're going to react to these experiences that we just lived through. So often, instead of reacting and making a choice to move forward, so many times we have a tendency to remain in our past. And we take these trips to our past, and we limit ourselves by the past that we just lived through. John Maxwell, a pretty good writer, he wrote this book called Failing Forward. And in his book, he has an excerpt of this man who will constantly take these trips. He takes these trips to a city of regret. And this is what this man wrote. He said, "I had not really planned to take a trip this year, yet I found myself packing anyway. And off I went, dreading it. I was on another guilt trip. I booked my reservation on Wish I Had Airlines, and I didn't check my bags. See, everyone carries their own baggage on this airline. And I had to drag it on for what seemed like miles in the Regret City Airport. And I could see that people from all over the world were there with me, limping along under the weight of bags that they had packed themselves. I caught a cab to the Last Resort Hotel. The driver was taking us there, driving the whole trip backward, looking over his shoulder. And there I found the ballroom where my event would be held, the annual pity party. As I checked in, I saw that all my old colleagues were on the guest list, the Dunn family, woulda, coulda, shoulda. Both of the opportunities would be there, missed and lost. All the yesterdays were on the guest list, but there were too many to count, and I know they would have had all sad stories to share. Shattered dreams and broken promises would be there too, along with their friends, don't blame me and couldn't help it. And of course, hours and hours of entertainment would be provided by that renowned storyteller, it's their fault. As I prepared to settle in for a really long night, I realized that one person had the power to send all those people home and break up this party. That person? Me. All I had to do was return to the present and welcome in a new day. If you found yourself getting on a flight to the city of regret, recognize that it's a trip you book yourself, and only you can cancel it at any time, without penalty and without a fee. But you're the only one who can. Isn't that interesting? We take these trips. How often we take our trips, we pack our bags to this city of regret. Rather than moving on after we hit this season of failure, rather than setting our sights ahead, looking forward to the season that God has for us ahead, we have a tendency to always look behind and we look back and we drive through life with a rear view mirror in front of us. Never driving looking ahead, but always looking at the things that have gone by in the past. You know, the Bible is so full of biblical characters that have gone through seasons of failure. We have Moses, who failed the Lord. Peter failed the Lord. But the one that stands out most in my mind is a guy named David. David, remember, he was the one who fought Goliath, a little boy, but yet the Lord was with him. And he brought down this humongous giant just with some stones. And from that moment, God began to see something special in David and anointed David to be king of the nation of Israel. And he was so successful in his reign that the people chanted, "David killed 10,000 men." And they honored him and they held him up in such high prestige in life. And David rose from a little shepherd boy to become a king of a nation. This was David. But yet from his high top tower on his apartment building one day, rather than doing what God had told him to do, which was to go out to battle, he stayed home, looked over in the neighboring property and saw this beautiful looking wahine, and his eyes just went kaboing, kaboing, brought that lady into his house and committed adultery with her. And from that relationship, she conceived a child. David then plotted to have her husband murdered on the battlefield and now was going to marry this woman with his child. Thought nothing wrong with it until a friend called Nathan called him to the carpet. And he said, "David, what's wrong with you? Don't you know what you just did?" And when that sin was brought to David's attention, he fell on his face. And then the Lord said to David, "That child that was just conceived is now going to die." It broke David's heart. And as much as his friends tried to get him back on his feet, get him healthy again, David refused to do so until he found out that the child actually did die. Let's take a look at what David needed to choose to do. Read with me 2 Samuel. Ready? Go. "But when David perceived that the child was dead, he arose from the ground, washed, anointed himself, and changed his clothes. And he came into the house of the Lord and worshipped. Then he came to his own house and he ate." would you underline that phrase, came into the house of the Lord and worshiped. You think David felt like a failure at that point? Yeah, he sure did. One of the first things he did, however, not only did he change his physical appearance, he made a choice to go straight to the house of the Lord and he worshiped. In other words, he repented of what he had done. He made a choice that he was going to have to live a new life now, take on a new season. You know, his friends came up to him, if you follow that scripture even further in the Bible. His friends came to him and said, David, what's up? You know, we tried to get you up again and get you healthy and begin to eat, and you refused to do that. And now that your child is dead, you just jump up and wash and change and everything, and now you want to start anew? What's up with that, David? And his response to them, my child is dead. There's nothing I can do to change that. But I can change my future. See, David wasn't willing to just dwell in his past. He knew that he made a mistake in the past. He knew that he failed God in the past. But that he was willing to leave in the past. He had to make a choice to begin a new life and begin again. When we go through our seasons of failure, don't allow your minds to remain in your past. The longer you do so, the more you condition your mind to think no better than who you were back then. You reduce the potential that God has in your life if you keep thinking about your past. God says, don't ponder the things of your past. Read with me Isaiah. Ready? Go. Do not call to mind the former things or ponder things of the past. Behold, I will do something new. Now it'll spring forth. Will you not be aware of it? In other words, God can have something so wonderful in front of you, but if you continue to look in this rear view mirror, you'll never see what he has. You'll see only what you just experienced, and you'll limit yourself by what you're seeing. I was like that when I first became a Christian. And some of you know my background, where I got a divorce before I became a Christian, and you know, I had actually left my son when he was only 2.5 years old, and I left the family. And after I became a Christian, my son is like about 16 years old now, and I would take him out because now I want to spend time with him. I want to catch up with some time that I missed out on. And as I listened to him talk about his relationship with his classmates and friends, I kept hearing a relational problem, or so I thought. I would hear him talk about not getting along with so-and-so and this and that. And I would sit with him, and finally, it made me feel so guilty that I took him for a ride. We went to Magic Island. We parked in the parking lot. And I said, Brandon, I've been listening to what you've been telling me, and I got to apologize to you, man. I am so sorry I wasn't there to be with you as you were growing up. And now I hear all of the relational problems that you have. It's all my fault because I didn't do this for you. And I'm going on and on and on, beating up on myself. Brandon stops me in the middle of a sentence. He says, Dad, would you knock it off? All of this stuff that I'm going through with my friends, that's friend stuff. All kids go through that. See, I forgave you a long time ago. It's about time you forgave yourself for what you just did. And I'm sitting there in the parking lot listening to wisdom from my 16-year-old son, you know. And I thought to myself, that's right. Even though I say I'm a Christian, I've still been living in my past. It's time I made a choice to change. And to begin to look at what God has for me in the future, the potential that's laying ahead of me, not to look at things in my past. Well, how do we do that? How do we make that kind of a choice to change? Well, in your bullet point, would you fill this in? Focus on the problem solver and not the problem. The more we look at our problems, the more we focus our eyes on our circumstances, it takes our focus away from who we should be looking at, the Lord Himself. You see, no matter what problem we've been through, no matter what problem we've failed at, we still have the Lord, don't we? And the Lord will take any of our failures, any of our insecurities, any of the times where we felt unworthy, and He will redeem it. He will rebuild it. He is a restorer. He is a rewarder. No matter what we've been through in our past, the failures that we've been through, the seasons of failures, God will take it. If we but choose to look towards Him rather than our problems, He'll take that and He'll redeem that for a future. If you're going through a season like that now, if you've been through a season of failure, you got to make a choice. What are you going to do? What are you going to look at? Are you going to look at the circumstances around you, or are you going to look at the problem solver? the greatest God of all. Number two, when you're ready to make that choice, be intentional about what you choose to plant. When you're ready to move forward, you got to plant some new seeds in your life. You see, God has just taken you through this season. He's burned away from you things that aren't necessary, things that will hurt you. Things like envy, pride, selfishness, unforgiveness. He's trying to burn those things away from you. Now, you got to choose what you're going to plant in there. Imagine this. Imagine a field like a chaparral where a fire just came through and burned away everything that was on its surface. If someone doesn't go in there and cultivates and tills the ground and plants new seed in there, guess what's going to grow back? The old plants again. The old seed is going to germinate and pop up again. It's not until we choose to plant something different than where we came from that is going to grow up and to be something new. We need to make that choice. If we allow the old things to grow back up a few years from now, nothing will ever have changed. Everything will look just the same as before. I used to have sentencing days when, as a judge, we'd have one day set aside and all the cases would come in where I would issue a judgment and a sentence on these defendants. And somehow, I guess, word gets around in the cell block and at prison that, hey, you're going to be facing this Christian judge, and so just say that you're a Christian, and he'll probably let you go easy. And so these guys would come in front of me, and they would say, I'm a Christian now, and so, I'm going to be a good guy, so you let me off on probation and just get me out of here kind of thing. And so, it's a public setting, and there's supposed to be a separation of church and state. But once he opens his mouth and tells me that he's a Christian and starts to quote scripture at me, he's opened a wide door for me to respond in a Christian way. And so I would say something like this. So you're a Christian now? He says, yeah, I'm a Christian. I said, okay, so you believe that that God loves you? He says, yeah, I believe that God loves me. You believe that in his love, God also believes in discipline? Yeah, I believe in discipline. So you also believe that God also wants us to go through some consequences of the acts that we've committed. Yeah, I believe in consequences. So I'd say, think about that, the 10 years that you're going to spend in prison. And I would sentence them to prison, but I would say this to them before the guards would take them away. I would say, who you are when you come out of prison is going to be determined by what you choose to do while you're in prison. And I think about us being in a prison of some sorts, where we can be captured in this prison of failure, where we feel that we've done nothing right, and we live in our past, and we're stuck in this zone. Let me say this to you, if you're in that situation right now. What you harvest in this next season will be defined by what you choose to plant in your hearts right now. See, it's not taking the things of our past and replanting the same thing. It's taking new seed and planting new seeds in our hearts. See, what we choose to plant will define where we're going to be going this next season in life. You know, when I went through this divorce, I wanted everything new. And so I moved out. I said, forget it. That's done with. I'm going to move on. I wanted everything new. Got a new place, got a new car, I got a new job. I was working with the public defender's office then. I got into a new relationship, and I was trying to do everything new. I thought, that's what's going to change me. I wasn't a Christian then. I had no idea what Christian values were all about. I had no Christian role models to follow after. I just wanted to change my environment. Well, I came across these little seeds in my hand. And someone told me that they were like pakalolo seeds, you know, marijuana. So I thought, well, I'll go plant them and see if they're really pakalolo seeds. And so I took out a little tray, I planted these seeds, and lo and behold, they started to grow. It sure looked like pakalolo. And they got a little bit taller, and sure enough, these marijuana leaves were beginning to form. I thought, wow, that's pretty neat. I put them on this windowsill so the sun would hit it. Now they're growing a little bit taller. And I needed to get more sunshine. So I went underneath my house, and there's some lattices, and the sun really hits there. And I put it there so I didn't want anybody to see it. But it began to grow. Well, one day, I was at home, and I heard this rustling in the yard, and this teenage boy ran through the yard, followed by these cops. They're chasing after this kid. The cops saw me looking out the window. They were standing right next to these plants. And he asked me, "You see this guy run through?" I said, "Yeah, I did. Yeah, this boy just broke into a house. Which way did he go?" And I know that the boy ran that way, but I wanted to put the cops as far away from my plants as possible. So I said, "He went that way. You better catch him, man. He's running fast." They took off. I went under the house. I pulled out the plants, and I threw it away, and I thought, "Oh, what am I doing? I can just see the news, public defender arrested for planting marijuana in his house." And I thought, "Man, what am I doing with my life?" You know, everything I thought was new around me, but everything inside of my heart was still the same. And time went on, and years went by, and although I started to get into other new things and even other new relationships, nothing ever changed. I ended up getting divorced a second time. It was not until I came to Christ that I realized what I needed to do. See, when I became a Christian, 2 Corinthians 5:17 said, "If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. All things have passed away. All things old will now become new." And I needed to look at my life as something new. It couldn't be the same old stuff. God had burned this old stuff away. And now I needed to replant something new in my life. Otherwise, if I didn't, more years would pass by and I wouldn't be any different than who I was before. You know, God, you can't fool God. God knows what's going on in our lives. He knows that the flesh and the spirit are on opposite ends and it doesn't match. Galatians 5 says that. Flesh and the spirit doesn't match. Opposites of each other. And then Galatians 6 says this. Read that with me. Ready? Go. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, this he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh shall from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit shall from the Spirit reap eternal life." God can't be fooled. You can't say that you're a Christian and make no changes in your life. You can't say that you're a Christian and plant the same old flesh back in your life. You know what God is saying there? You know what Galatians is saying? Paul is saying, God sees us better than that. If he sees that we're still planting flesh to flesh, even though we say we're a Christian, the Lord is saying, "I won't even touch that." If you go through some things in life because you're planting the flesh and you're feeding the flesh, the Lord is saying, "I don't think I want to touch that." You see, why should I, God, have to battle the flesh again with you? I've already battled the flesh when I sent my son down to die on the cross. And he beat death. And he rose again. He's beaten the flesh. He's won over the flesh. And God is saying, but if you choose to continue to feed the flesh and you get into a war with the flesh, go ahead, I'm not going to touch that. But if you choose to sow to the Spirit, if you choose to put the spiritual things in your life, I will show you a life that you could never have imagined was possible. I will show you an abundant life that you never in your wildest imagination thought would ever be there. But it starts with your choice to sow to the Spirit and not dabble with the flesh any longer. You got to make that choice. See, it's our choice to do. When I understood that about God, I went home. I grabbed all my stuff. I won't tell you how much stuff I had. I put it in this brown paper bag. I can still see it today. I wrapped it up, went to the trash bin, dumped it, and never looked back. I will never be the same again, I told myself. I had to make a choice. See, it's our responsibility to make that choice in life. It's our responsibility to choose what we're going to plant in our hearts. So many times we pray to God, "Oh, God, I'm suffering through this season. Change my heart, God. Change my heart, God. Change my heart." You know what the Lord is saying? You change your heart. I've done everything I could. Now you got to choose to change your heart. I'll help you, but it starts with your choice. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? I will often counsel with some couples, marriage counseling. I'll listen to their problem. I'll listen, then I'll stop them. I'll turn to the wife and I'll say, "What do you want?" I'll turn to the husband, I'll say, "What do you want?" See, what do you want? He's going to tell you what you choose to do. And as a Christian, if we're going to say, "I'm a Christian," we got to plant seeds that are spiritual. We cannot keep sowing to the flesh. We have to sow to the Spirit. You know, Ezekiel says that. It's our responsibility. Read Ezekiel with me. Ready? Go. Cast away from all your transgressions which you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. For why will you die, O house of Israel? The nation of Israel needed to make that choice. We also need to make that choice. We can blame God when we go through this season. We can get angry and frustrated because He's not putting out the fires around us. Hey, maybe He's not putting out the fires because we're still planting that same old seed over and over again. And He's still trying to burn it off for us. Make a choice. Plant the things of the Spirit. Well, where do you find these seeds of the Spirit? It happens in worship. You know, I wasn't like some of you who may kind of inch in here after worship is done or intentionally come late so you don't have to stand here in worship and have to raise your hands and clap with everybody else. But the seeds of the Spirit will be sown in your heart through worship. Make a point to come early to worship and worship with the Lord. Our midweek services, we go through extended worship. That's a time where the Lord is going to seed some spiritual seed in you. Even our devotions, as you're going through your devotions, at the very bottom of your journal page, how will I be different now because of what I just read? That is a seed that God's trying to plant in your heart. Through our care groups, if you're not involved in a care group, please get involved in one. Because it's in the seasons where you're feeling just burnt, you're feeling like a failure, that people around you in your care group will begin to support you, pray for you, care for you. They will feed spiritual seeds into your life. It's in serving. We talk about DCAT, getting involved in some place in ministry. We talk about Spirit of Aloha outreaches. I can't tell you enough about people who have come to me and said, you know, as I began to serve in the community, I just started to feel better. Because it's in serving that God seeds you with spiritual food. That's how I learned about it. I was like scrubbing toilets, and you guys know about that. I'd scrub these toilets. Now, honestly, I would scrub these toilets, and I would say, "Party, such a mess. These men, you know, they can't even take care of their toilets." And I'd go to the next one, and I'm scrubbing it. The more I scrubbed it, though, the more God humbled my heart. He humbled me to know that I now needed to serve someone else, that I wasn't the most important person in the world. It was someone else. God seeded spiritual seeds into my heart through serving. All these opportunities for us, your choice. You're going to seed the fleshly things in your heart or the spiritual things, your choice. Number three, as we move through this season of failure, when you're ready to set a goal, set faithfulness as your goal. Faithfulness. We talk about failure. Everyone thinks that the opposite of failure is success. And we all want to be successful if we come out of a season of failure. Well, the problem with that is, how do we define success? Many times we look at success in a comparison mode where we say, if we don't have what that family has, we're not successful. If my family isn't shaped and my kids don't grow up to be like their family and their kids, I'm not successful. It's not the way God looks at it. God is less concerned about what we produce on the outside than what happens on the inside. He's looking at our hearts. How faithful are we, even in the midst of a fire? Let me give you a definition of faithfulness. It's having a willingness, that's a choice, a willingness and a courage to be obedient to the process, regardless of the outcome. It's having a willingness combined with the courage to be obedient to the process, regardless of the outcome. In other words, even if I don't know what's at the end of the tunnel, I will be faithful and I will be courageous to stick with where God has placed me and obedient to what He's asked me to do. When you take that definition and you apply it to yourself as a parent, are you a failure if your child doesn't turn out the way you wanted them to be? Are you a failure if your husband or your wife isn't all that he's supposed to be in your eyes? Are you a failure if your bank account doesn't show very much after coming out of this season of failure? You're not a failure. You're not a failure if you're willing to be faithful to where God has placed you. Regardless of whether your child ends up on drugs and in jail, if you have been faithful to what the Lord has asked of you as a parent, to do everything that God has been asking of you, to love them, to pray for them, even if they make their own choice to go a different way. If you've been following everything God has asked you, you're not a failure. You're faithful. Same with being a husband or a wife, where your husband leaves you as a wife. If you've been faithful to all that God has asked you, and you can stand before the throne with a clean heart, you're not a failure. You're faithful. That's what God is looking for. People who are faithful with just what they have, willing to obey regardless of the outcome. You know, someone asked Mother Teresa. She helps those that are in the streets of Calcutta. And someone said to her, "Mother Teresa, man, don't you ever feel like you're not being successful here?" She says, "Well, what do you mean?" He said, "Because it seems like for every person you help off the street, 10 more will drop in the street." And she looked at this man and she said, "Well, the Lord never asked me to be successful, but he's asked me to be obedient, and I'm being obedient." Same with us. God is asking nothing more from us but to be faithful with what we have. And he says, if we're faithful with a little, he can entrust us with much more. Matthew 25, let's read that together. Ready? Go. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share your master's happiness." You see, a lot of times when I counsel with people, they want to know what to do and what to change in their lives. And I'll go through some changes, especially with men in their marriages and business guys. And their response to me is, "Okay, so if I make these changes, then my wife will come back to me? Or if I make these changes, then my business is going to prosper?" I say, "No, listen to what I'm saying. These changes that we talked about will bring you into a better relationship with the Lord. You work on this relationship, and the results will follow, I guarantee you. You work on your faithfulness to the Lord, and the results will follow. My ministry is not doing well. Well, work on your relationship with the Lord, and the results will follow." Psalms 37 says that. "Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart." When will you be blessed with the desires of your heart? When you delight yourself in the Lord. When you build upon your faithfulness to him. When you're faithful with the little things that he's given you, whatever it is, he will then entrust you with more. Because when he sees that your foundation now is built on faithfulness and not on possessions and status and position, it's built on faithfulness, then he can begin to move you from the season of failure into a season of fruitfulness. Look at Proverbs 28. "A faithful man will be richly blessed, but one eager to get rich will not go unpunished." Isn't that interesting? It's all about faithfulness. I want you to take a look at a video. It's of a testimony of a brother here at New Hope who went through a season of failure. But because of his faithfulness, God has truly blessed him. You're going to take a look at this video, and then we're going to catch up with his life as to what God has done in his life since then. Take a look at this.
In my early childhood, I think I was what most people call spoiled. My parents gave me almost anything that I asked for. Without my realizing it, I think what I really wanted was quality time with them. However, my parents were busy working. In elementary school, I spent a lot of time in the vice principal's office for all kinds of reasons, from swearing at my teachers to throwing things around the classroom, anything that would get me attention. By the time I was 15 years old, I started cutting out of school, drinking beer, and smoking. At first, it was just to fit in with the other guys, but then it became something that I really looked forward to. By the time I graduated, I was into stronger drugs and started selling drugs to help support my habit. Partying had become a way of life. Soon after graduation, I was arrested for drugs and put on 5 years probation. I couldn't hold on to a job and went from one job to another. I even stole jewelry from my parents' jewelry shop to support my habit. I was introduced to crystal meth and things got worse. Around the same time, my mom got sick and was put in ICU. And passed away 2 months later. I arrived at her funeral late. In fact, by the time I got there, it was already over. My heart had become so hardened by drugs that very little mattered to me. Eventually, I even became homeless and was convicted for 2 felonies. which was, while all of this was going on, I lost my dad to cancer. I ended up in prison and realized that for many inmates, prison had a revolving door, meaning they came in, they went out, and in no time, they were back in prison again. I started to realize that my life was headed in that direction. It was as though my eyes had been opened. And in the prison chapel one day, I finally surrendered my life to the Lord. And then I sat there and waited for some kind of miracle to happen. But I didn't notice anything. I was reading the Bible daily, but I couldn't understand what I was reading. It wasn't until I started attending Bible studies with the New Hope Prison Ministry at Wayava that I began to understand that it was all about having a personal relationship with Jesus. It was then that the Lord softened my heart. My thoughts were being renewed with hope, and I started feeling less guilt and shame and began to see the power of God at work in my life. The Lord then opened the prison doors and used our counselor, who was from New Hope, to escort us to water baptism, growing deep, growing strong, and midweek services. I learned to journal and really look forward to the visits by New Hope. On my first weekend pass, I decided to attend a New Hope service. And Pastor Wayne was giving a message about careers. I felt like the message was just for me. He talked about the need to build character and the importance of being responsible employees who work as though they are working for the Lord. Upon my release from prison, the Lord blessed me with a job. I realized that it was a gift from Him and that I needed to represent Him well in my work. I'm still in the same job today after 2.5 years. What a miracle, huh? In fact, I have even received 2 promotions. The Lord has blessed my life in so many ways. One of my blessings is that He has allowed me to be a part of New Hope's prison ministry, where I have an opportunity to reach the youth at Koh Lao. I'm grateful that New Hope is a church that has a heart for prisoners, and that through this ministry, my life has turned around. Thank you, and God bless.
The neat thing about God is that He doesn't just stop when someone gives a testimony. God continues to work in their lives. And I want to bring Gavin and his wife Terry out and have them share with you the rest of the story. Would you welcome Gavin and Terry as they come out? Hey, Gavin, that was like about 2 years ago. Would you catch us up to speed on what has happened to your life since then?
I have a daughter in the mainland that I haven't seen for 9 years, and last year we were blessed with the opportunity to spend some time with her here in Hawaii. And the same year, last year, I was blessed with a beautiful wife and my best friend that the Lord has given me. And the most recent was this past week. We were blessed with a brand new townhouse that we just moved into.
Now, I heard that in the video that after you were released from prison that you got a job, and now there's some rumor that I want you to confirm that or deny that when you got this job, now you were making how much at that point, that first job?
Minimum wage,
and that you were eating a cup of noodle and tuna sandwich every day, is that right?
Yeah, that was for about 6 months, and I think that's how I got my high cholesterol.
But it's like you had reached a certain level where you got this job, and even though you're getting minimum wage, you just stayed faithful with what God had given you.
Yes.
And what has happened at your job place since then?
I have the most seniority now in our department. I'm still at the same job.
That's fantastic. You know, there are people here that need to hear a lesson. What lesson did you learn in this last season of failure that you went through?
I learned not to trust so much in myself, to trust in the Lord, to be patient, and to not seek instant gratification and wait upon the Lord.
So there were rich lessons that you learned even in that season of time.
Yes.
You know, this tape is probably going to go into our prison because we do have our prison ministry that plays these messages back to them. If you had a word to share with those who are still in prison, and even for some of us who may be in a spiritual prison of time where we can't get over this season of failure, what is that one word you want to share with us?
That we really need to believe what the Bible tells us, and you mentioned it earlier. My favorite scripture is 2 Corinthians 5:17, which tells us that we are new creations. So we have to really believe that we are a new creation and to think like a new creation and not think the same way that we used to.
Great. Thank you, Gavin. I want to ask Terry one question, okay? I got to ask this question. What attracted you to Gavin? It wasn't money, I know that.
Okay, I think I'm going to help her with this one. Okay, I prayed really hard for a wife, and the Lord blinded her.
His sense of humor. His faithfulness in the Lord, that by far. His daily choice to be a man of integrity, someone who really wants to follow Christ. And one of the most beautiful things about him is his gratefulness to the Lord. He's so grateful for every little thing that God's given him, that he's given both of us. And that's really attractive. It's so beautiful.
That's neat. Would you say thank you to Gavin and Terry? Thank you so much. Let's all stand. Such a neat couple. But it's living testimony of what God can do. You see, Gavin wasn't shooting for something big. He knew that God had taken him through this season and time. But he knew he had to make a choice to move on from that. And as little as he had, he still remained faithful to what the Lord had for him. He knew he had to put new things in his life, not to go back to the old, not to dwell in the past, but to look forward to the new seeds that God would plant in his life. And when he was faithful with a little, God is still blessing him with much, much more. Happened to them, it can happen for us as well. Work through these seasons of failure. Don't let it be an end. Let it be a rich beginning for you. So much more ahead. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord. Thank you for your love, for your graciousness. Father, thank you for the pains in life that we go through. Sometimes it's hard for us to thank you for those times, Lord, but really there are times where you need to burn things off from our lives, where we tend to hold on to them too long, but you love us enough, where you will send a season through our lives where we need to be burned away, and we think it's a failure, but Lord, in your eyes, if we turn back to you, if we remain faithful to you, Lord, that is what you're looking for. Thank you, Lord, for the way that you love us, continuing to love us. Even in our faithlessness, Lord, you are still faithful towards us. We need to make a choice. Father, we want to choose today to follow you. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, there may be some here this morning who haven't yet made that choice. You have been walking on your own. You've been living life on your own. You may have thought that you could change things around you in order to enter into a new season. And you did nothing with changing things that are in you. That's where it starts. It starts with making a choice today to say, Jesus, would you start living in my heart? I've lived life too long on my own, and I want to start living the way you want me to. I don't know all there is to know about you, Lord, but I need to make a choice today. It has to start today, and I want to do that right now. If that's you, all we do here at New Hope is we raise a hand. If you want to say yes to Jesus, you've never done this before, you just want to say yes to him right now. Just raise a hand right now. Go ahead and raise it up high. Right here in the front, on the side. Great. A lot of hands there. On the back there. Good. Keep your hands up high. Right here in the middle. Again in the middle here. God bless you. Right here on the side. Good. Keep your hands up there so the Lord can see you. All right. Put your hands down. How many of you are here and you're saying that, you know, I'm a Christian? I've been calling myself a Christian, and I've been trying to walk this walk, but I seem to always go back to the past, and it's time that I set a new season for myself and start walking forward. Time that I not look at myself as a failure, but to be more faithful to the Lord. No matter what he's asked me to do, no matter what season I'm in, Lord, I'm going to faithfully follow you. If that's you this morning and you just need a little bit of help from the Lord, would you raise a hand right now? Yeah. A lot of us are going through that. You put your hands down. If you just received Jesus Christ and you said yes for the first time, we have something special for you. It's called a yes packet. As you exit our auditorium, you're going to see people holding up this packet. It has the word yes written in pink, and it has a little Bible in there. It's free. It has some material that's going to help you to understand what it means to follow Jesus Christ. But go ahead and pick one up. Completely free. We want you to have this as our gift to you. Before we go, can we say this prayer together? I'll say the words. Would you repeat it with all your heart? Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Dear Jesus, thank you that you came and died for my sins, that I might have life everlasting. I choose to follow you. I choose to be faithful to you. Help me to be all that you've made me to be. I gave you my heart. I give you my life. And now I say this so I can hear myself, so those around me can hear, so you can hear, and so the devil can hear. Jesus Christ is my Lord. He is my Lord and Savior. I belong to Him in Jesus' name. Father, that's our prayer this morning. Lord, we want to change. We want to choose to live differently now. We don't want to be the same when we walk out of here, Father. We want to live a different life that is faithful, faithfully following you. We praise you in Jesus' name, and we all say together, amen. Would you welcome those who said yes for the first time? God bless you. Have a great week serving the Lord. Do you love someone as you go?